You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm Doyle.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all.
All right, Pooh.
Isn't that great, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
That's from the days of radio drama. Normally, there would be a storyline that what you've been listening to would back up. You know, something like... remember the old serials in the Spider-Woman?
Mm-hmm.
And... Flash Gordon and all of those people. That's the kind of music you used to hear behind those.
And the shadow.
The shadow knows. Only the shadow knows. Those were the days of radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, we got to do something to bring some of that back. I mean, we really do.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, a lot of people sometimes play the old radio dramas, but why can't we put together some modern radio dramas?
I think it'd be good. Get the family back around the radio and away from the TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like, I don't know. It could be anything.
It could be anything. I mean, I've heard all sorts of stuff.
It really could. Ladies and gentlemen, we did listen to Sandeo and Art Bell last night.
Oh.
And I must tell you, I am absolutely ashamed that I even know the man after some of the things that he said that were just outright untruths. And I've known Sandeo for many years. And the story he told last night about his expulsion from the Air Force Academy and where he went afterwards and what he did and all that stuff is a total brand new fabrication that he's never told before. And it's not because he was afraid to tell it or didn't want to tell it. It's because it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I've known this man for years, and I know what happened. He's told me over and over and over again. And I've checked it out. And so I know what happened. And last night, he just flat made up a story and told it to the world.
Art Bell even said, you never told me that before.
Yeah, Art Bell noticed it, too. He said, you know, I never heard this story. You never told me that before. You've told me, you know. Even Art Bell knew that there was something wrong with that story. Well, that gives Art Bell a little more credit than he had before. But, Stan, I wish you hadn't have done that. I really, really do. I don't know why you did it, but I wish you hadn't have done it. And you really shot yourself in the foot, I got to tell you. Mm-hmm. Folks, I was watching Crossfire. I haven't been feeling too good today. I feel like I don't have any energy. I mean, I'm not sick or anything. I just don't feel like I have any energy at all. I feel like I've been drained. And I think, you know, all of this stuff that's going on everywhere is just, you know, I have more reports on what's going on around this country and the world than anybody outside of the actual Central Intelligence Agency and Office of Naval Intelligence and Army G2 and all of those people. And I think the reason that I just feel drained of energy is because I'm seeing a terrible picture beginning to emerge. I'm seeing literally the destruction of our Republican form of government. I am witnessing probably, and you are too, whether you know it or not, the last days of the United States of America.
I agree.
And now on the news today, they were asking if Alan Greenspan was going to be able to save the global economy. Are you listening to me, folks, what I'm telling you? Remember last night I made the statement there's going to be a global Federal Reserve Board? You're seeing, I know you know, you don't see it, I see it. And I know a lot of you probably don't even understand what I'm talking about. But you're watching global government coming together before your very eyes. You're watching the destruction of the institution of the American presidency, the loss of faith of the American people in their Congress. There's going to be a move toward the parliamentary form of government. You watch it. It's going to happen. They just created a world court to which we have subscribed, which means we are no longer a sovereign nation. If that means anything to you, it means a lot to me.
And me.
And now we're watching the purposeful creation of a global economic collapse. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the entire global economy is coming down around our ears. I predicted that over a year ago. In fact, I predicted in May of 1997 that on October the 24th, the New York stock market would crash over 500 points, and it did. I predicted it right here on the Hour of the Time, and it did. And I told you then that that was the beginning of a global economic collapse. And we have been watching it take place. Now, you don't see this on CNN or NBC or any of the communist news networks. You don't hear it from Dan Rathenot or Ted Copulate or any of those those talking jerks. But if you watch the world news as I do, if you get the world news from all of the capitals of the world as I do every day, it has happened. It has happened. And now they're talking about putting into place an economic safeguard organization to replace the International Monetary Fund to control the world economy. Now, if that's not one world government, if that's not one world government, will someone please educate me? Will someone please educate me? You see, a government is an economic system, and once you have a world or a global economic system run from one central point, you have world government. That's what's going on. And then I watched Crossfire and became physically ill. Every time I see James Carville, it just makes me want to puke.
Yeah.
I know the guy can't help the way he looks. I know that, and I shouldn't feel that way. But I can't help it. It's a visceral reaction. Every time I see him, I feel physically ill. You know, if anybody in this world looks evil, James Carville looks evil. I don't know whether he is or not, and I'm not saying that he is. But I got to tell you, the guy just absolutely, I don't believe he has any morals or ethics whatsoever. I think this guy is not above doing or saying anything. And so I went through that. Here's the President of the United States under full-blown he's in a catastrophic situation because of something he did. And it's being exploited as an attack upon the presidency itself. Mm-hmm. And he knows. Had to sneeze, folks. Excuse me. Had to turn off the mic. He knows, and all of his advisors know, that he has to make a deal with the Republicans somehow, or he's going to be impeached. And I don't think he can make a deal at this point. And here's James Carville running around pretending, pretending to be defending the president, screwing up his deal with the Republicans, attacking Newt Gingrich and the leadership of the Republican Party. And everything is just falling down around our ears, folks. And I don't think it's going to get anything but worse.
Nope.
Much, much worse. So we're going to talk about all this stuff tonight. And
I saw something interesting today on my sideline, I'll call it. I have to watch TV all day.
Yeah.
And the morning shows that are on, the news ones.
He has to watch TV all day.
Yeah. It's no good, trust me. The one where the gentleman stands on the sidewalk in New York, asks where you're from, that's a big part of the morning show. They have a...
Hi, what's your name? Could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, that one. It's a big one. I can't remember the name. It's got the peacock, whoever that is.
That's National Broadcasting Communists.
Yeah, there you go. They had two special stories today, peanut-free zones.
Peanut-free zones?
Yes, schools and a coalition of child nutritionists are calling for peanut-free zones.
Peanut-free zones. You're joking.
No, because the allergies related to peanuts and peanut butter are affecting kids so severely they want to ban peanut butter.
Peanut butter is what I grew up on.
Yeah.
While I was growing up, ate peanut butter and peanut butter sandwiches and peanut butter on celery sticks and peanut butter in apples and peanut butter out our ears.
No, they want they actually want peanut-free zones in schools and peanut-free areas in a plane flight because since you're contained within a plane...
Are these to be corridors surrounding the gun-free zone?
That and the biosphere, I don't know.
How about the sex-free zone? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's in the school.
Yeah, that's in it.
They're giving out condoms and telling them...
Not how to do it. Yeah. And the other story, which really got to me...
How could I have gotten so confused?
Tired.
Okay, what's the other story?
It was a major headline story for them. They pronounced it all over America. It's on satellite, everything, about a couple of parents that everybody's looking for because they took... Supposedly, here's what they said. These two parents, mom and dad, together, agreeing on it, went and took their child, out of the hospital because they didn't agree with something the hospital was doing. So it's kidnapping, and they want to publicize this horrible story. and tell the nation why it's bad that they do this. Now, how can two parents together, how do they kidnap their own child?
Well, you can't.
Yeah.
It was the hospital that kidnapped the
child.
Exactly. That's who kidnapped the child.
And they made a headline story.
No one has a right to take anyone's child away from them, period.
Yeah. There was something they disagreed with the hospital on some basis, and I didn't watch the whole story because I had to flick around to some other thing. But the headline they were giving it was, these two parents, can you believe this heart-wrenching story? They kidnapped their child from the hospital. This never took the child, nothing. They kidnapped their child, their own parents. Because the hospital had control.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they tried that when Pooh was born. I absolutely refused to fill out a birth certificate or sign one. Mm-hmm. And they told me I could not take my child home. I asked the doctor how long he wanted to live.
Yeah.
And he changed his mind really quick because he saw that I was dead serious.
Yeah.
And I took my child home. And I just can't imagine these things happening. I can't imagine people allowing them to happen. I can't imagine people standing there while someone takes their child from their home knowing that they're not going to get their child back.
Yeah.
They can't possibly love those children.
They hand them over half the time.
They can't possibly love those children. They can't possibly care about those children.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. Not at all. They hand them over. Someone comes and knocks on the door and says, well, I heard you spanked your kid. Oh, well, here then. Because they think some agency's got a badge. I was told today to call CPS at my job.
For what?
Because I called on a account, and it was a six-year-old. He told me point blank, well, my mom's not here. I don't know the information you want. I'm by myself. And when I hung up, I was told, well, why don't you call CPS? He shouldn't be there by him. I was like, I'm not going to do that. It didn't happen either, trust me. But
she told you to call CPS, Child Protective Services, because the child said the child was there alone by himself? Oh, my God.
What's going on? And then, the next headline story I saw, Mayor Bradley died of a massive heart attack, or complications thereof, I guess.
The Los Angeles Mayor Bradley?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they were, the same station was making sure that they pushed him. They were really promoting this guy. Now, I'm from California my whole life.
I wouldn't go around admitting that.
Well, I'm going to now. Unfortunately.
The whole world knows now.
But,
it's okay, I was born there. But
that's it. But they made sure to push him as a great American, an American hero, did more for L.A., did more for the people, did more for California than any mayor in history. I, personally, looking at his track record and what he used to do, always thought he was a socialist.
Well, he is. He was a socialist. Yeah, and what he did for L.A. is thoroughly disgust the voters so much that they quit going to the polls. The last mayoral election in Los Angeles, when I was there, less than 10% of the registered voters went to the poll and voted in the mayoral election. Now, that's less than 10% of the registered voters, which means it's probably around 1% of the entire population of the city elected the mayor, which tells you that nobody in L.A. thinks that their vote counts or that it's even worth going to vote because of the crooked politics that they have.
Oh, yeah. I used to see on the news back home where Mayor Bradley was making deals with foreign countries. I would. He met with the Japanese this and that for the offshore. Remember the offshore logging?
Uh huh.
They just take they buy the logs at nothing, get them over 12 miles offshore, sell them, and bring them right back and sell them.
Yeah, and raise the price about 40 times. And they were only buying the best wood too, the very best wood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I certainly do. Well, can't do that, can I? But I can do that.
What'll I do when you are far away and I am blue? What'll I do? What'll I do when I
Like that song though?
Yes.
Me too. I like all these old songs. That's all you hear of 101.1 FM either. This kind of music. By the way, folks, this is a dedication, it was called in earlier today, for Monica Lewinsky from William Jefferson Clinton. Can't you just picture him sitting there in the evening shadows in the Oval Office staring at his cigar box? Did I say that?
Yeah, the humidor.
The humidor. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And, you know, that's what I'm asking you tonight. What are we going to do? We have stripped ourselves of military. We have no more retaliatory strike capability. We have no more ICBM capability to deliver atomic weapons across the ocean. All of our B-52s, or most of them, not all, most of them have been chopped up into several pieces in the Arizona desert by a huge guillotine, by the way. A huge guillotine. This big, huge guillotine knife lifted up by a crane is dropped on each wing next to the fuselage, and then the fuselage is cut in half. And there they sit. Our military servicemen and women are demoralized. They have been cut back to almost nothing. They're working their butts off. Hardly get to see their families anymore. Our reserve forces, combat-ready reserve forces, have been deactivated, and they're now all support for supply and transportation.
Yeah,
and
combat service support.
Combat service support is what they call it. We have lost most of our major industry. We have become I wrote this in my book years ago. The United States would become a service economy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what we're becoming. Nobody trusts government anymore. Nobody believes government anymore. We cannot find one politician anywhere who is not one of the most despicable chronic liars that you've ever seen in your life. And as if that isn't enough, the American people have accepted that politicians lie and don't think anything of it. Don't think anything of it at all. And now the office of the presidency has been made a laughing stock. Congress is a joke. Our institutions are becoming silly things that nobody really puts any trust, any credibility, or any a stock into. We are fractured like we have never been fractured before. The divisiveness running through this country is absolutely unbelievable. Everyone is pitted against everyone else. And everyone seems to be falling right into it, believing it. They have lost all concept of the principles and ideals that created this country and should make us all one Americans devoted to the preservation of freedom for all people. Instead, we want more legislation. We want more social programs. We want more control by government. We want bigger police forces. We want more laws. We want the drugs and crime off the streets. And polls tell us that Americans are willing to give up their rights to get the drugs and crime off the streets. Blacks hate whites, white hate black. Blacks hate Jews, Jews hate everybody. American Indians have been disenfranchised and feel that their culture has been stripped from them along with their lands. Orientals and Jews isolate themselves in self-inflicted ghetto communities. Blacks, while reaching out for desegregation and wanting to live in mixed racial neighborhoods, congregate in the inner cities where crime, drugs, and misery runs rampant. Homeless abound everywhere. You have lunatics on the radio telling you that we're going to be invaded any moment by aliens from outer space.
The Peace Squadron.
And everything else in the world that you can think of. Earth changes. Tonight on Art Bell is going to be, who is it? Sean David Morton. One of the biggest phony, fraud, fake liars that have ever populated this planet. I know him personally. He called me in 1989 and told me on the telephone that he was the son of Satan. At that time, he was an actor. Sent me one of his publicity photos. Wrote me letters faithfully all the time. And then when I went up to Groom Dry Lake, he was there, followed me around like a little puppy dog, claiming to be the world's greatest expert on UFOs, yet he didn't know anything about them. Never had a college degree in his life. One day, and the next day, he was a doctor. A doctor. The next day, a doctor.
He's still an actor.
And now, he predicts, makes predictions. Like someone else I know, Michael Scallion. You know, anybody can do that, ladies and gentlemen. There's a mathematical science to it. Anybody on the face of this earth can predict that there's going to be an earthquake in California tomorrow, and they will be 100% correct. There's earthquakes every day in California. Earth changes. Have you seen these maps of the earth changes? You should listen tonight, though, to Art Bell, and you can get an education on how a con man operates, because that's what he is. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear one of the biggest con jobs you ever heard in your life tonight if you listen to Sean David Morton on Art Bell. It will give you a good education. So I'm telling you all, you should listen. I'm not trying to increase Art Bell's credibility or ratings or anything else. It's a good way to find out how Americans are being scammed and shuffled off into cul-de-sacs where they chase their tail forever, never accomplishing anything. Will-o'-the-wisps. Do you actually believe, ladies and gentlemen, that somebody can sit down and draw a map showing the exact new coastline after the earth changes? according to the map, I'm sitting on prime multi-billion-dollar oceanfront property.
All right.
And should make out really well in the deal.
Come on, San Andreas.
And at the altitude we're at, we have no fear of being flooded by the sea, no matter how much ice melts anywhere. I heard a figure touted recently that the ice cap over the Antarctic continent is melting. And that if it continues to melt, the oceans of the world will rise 200 feet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most of the Earth's surface is covered by water. The Antarctic continent is a very small portion of the entire Earth's surface. If it had ice covering it 200 miles high, it couldn't raise the sea level all over the world 200 feet. But that's what you're supposed to believe.
I heard that.
This is incredible.
Yeah, they say 76% of Earth is what I've heard covered with water.
This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. We have people off chasing everything except what they should be chasing, paying attention to everything except what they should be paying attention to. Scared to death, we're going to be invaded by extraterrestrial beings from outer space while everything is falling apart around them and they don't give a damn about those things.
Mm-hmm. The neutralizer.
This is incredible. Has everyone lost their mind? Has the entire world, you know, tripped right over the edge? Are we in free fall without a parachute here? Are we, you know... Is anybody even trying to find a D-ring just in case they might have put one on and forgotten about it? I don't see anybody doing that. I don't see anybody trying to do anything about the divisiveness in this country. I see everybody falling into the trap and just dividing more. Mm-hmm. It's like cells that split. This cell splits and you got two people fighting each other. They split, now you got four. They split, then you got eight. They split, you got 16, and it keeps doing. We keep becoming more and more divided. Remember when there was one Christian church, the Catholic Church, and then Martin Luther tapped that thing on the door while he was wearing the ring and using the seal of the Rosenkreuz? The Rosi Cruci. He didn't do that because he believed in what he tacked on that door. He did it intentionally to split Christianity. And it's been splitting ever since. For all of you who think that Judaism is united, you're wrong. There are just as many splits amongst the Jewish religion. The only one I don't see that happening in is Buddhism. You see it happening amongst the Hindus. You see it happening amongst the Muslims. You see it happening to every religion and every people and every institution. Everything in the world is breaking down. Splitting up. And all the splits are aligning themselves against all the other splits and all the other people. Did you ever think that you would hear somebody talking about the left and right wing in Israel? And that they're pitted bitterly against each other?
Yeah.
Well, it's true, folks. It's happening. And now secular Jews are split against Orthodox Jews. And then you have Messianic Judaic sects. You have those that follow the Kabbalah, the mystical study of the Kabbalah. And then you have a lot of people that don't know anything about Judaism or the Kabbalah, using the Kabbalah as if they know what they're talking about to run their lives. And it's an esoteric tome. I'm telling you right now, they can read it all their life and they're not going to know anything about what it says. Because they're reading it as if it's a literal interpretation, when it is an esoteric metaphor for much deeper philosophies. Much of it is based upon symbolism. and the mystical meaning of numbers. You have so-called Christians who quote extensively from the Old Testament and ignore everything that Jesus Christ ever said. You have Jews now who are Jews for Jesus. How can you be a Jew for Jesus? Jew is not a race. Jew is a religion. You can't be Jews for Jesus. You can be Christians for Jesus, or you can be Jews for Judaism, but you can't be Jews for Jesus. We have African Americans. Mm-hmm. What in the hell is that? Mm. A guy born in the Bronx.
Yeah.
He's black. Mm. My name is Kwamambo Popupo. I'm an African American. Mm-hmm. Baloney. Mm-hmm. You're either an African or you're an American. But you're not an African American. Somebody has thrown you a curveball. You don't know who you are. You're confused. Now we have Asian Americans.
Asian Americans. Hispanic Americans. Irish Americans.
Someone once called my wife an Asian American. And she took great affront to that. And so did I. She is from Taiwan by birth, but she is an American. She's an American. And she believes in all the principles and ideals and freedoms and everything that all of us do. What is all this about? Are you a Christian? No, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, aren't they Christians? Yes, but we don't believe in all the nonsense that all of you other Christians believe in. In fact, we don't believe that you're Christians because you don't believe what we believe. Well, what are you? I'm a Southern Baptist. Really? Gee, how can you be a Southern Baptist when the Southern Baptist Church has now been taken over by Freemasonry and is run by people who worship the sun and Lucifer? I mean, that's not Christianity, but it's the truth. And then you go to a Masonic lodge and you ask them if it's a religious organization, they say no. And then they point to the Bible on the altar. I tell you that they believe in God, and that's what the big G stands for, and that they're Christian, and that the Bible proves it. But yet you go down the street to a Masonic lodge that is populated by the nation of Islam, black people who believe the religion of Islam, and they will show you that they have what on their altar? The Quran. They have the Quran on their altar. So how could the Freemasons be Christian? If you go to the Far East and visit a Masonic lodge, you're liable to see the Bhagavad Gita on the altar. You read Albert Pike, and it says that it absolutely, without any doubt whatsoever, is a religion. He says it over and over and over again. They thought so much of him that they took his body and entombed him in the house of the temple in Washington, D.C. And they made his book, Morals and Dogma, required reading and were given to every Freemason when they were initiated into the lodge. Yet they say, if you quote Albert Pike to them, they say, Albert Pike does not represent nor speak for Freemasonry. Well, you say, who does? Well, they'll tell you nobody does. Mm-hmm. And the reason they tell you that is so that you can't pin them to the wall with their own words. Everyone, ladies and gentlemen, today is full of crap. Just absolutely full of crap, lying to everybody else, and are all divided against everybody else, and everybody has an agenda, and nobody's agenda except mine seems to be freedom. Nobody seems to care about freedom anymore, except for just a few of us. They've lost it. They don't even understand that without freedom, they can't even stand there in these divisive institutions and lie to each other anymore, because socialism and communism, once they reach the ultimate power that they're striving for, won't allow it. No dictator in the world would ever allow it. You think they do that in Iraq? You think Saddam Hussein would allow that kind of thing? No. You think they do it in Cuba? No. No, not on your life. So what's this all about? Anybody got any idea? What are we going to do? You're all sitting out there waiting for me to give you an answer. I know what's going to happen in the future, but I don't know what the answer is. Now, let me explain that to you. You see, I know the ultimate confrontation that we are being propelled into is going to be an armed conflict between a lot of people. How it's going to come out, I haven't got the slightest idea. I know how I would like it to come out. I would like a restoration of Republican constitutional government. Freedom. I would like freedom to reign all over the earth, for all people and all religions everywhere. But I can't guarantee that that will happen. And I know enough about war, and I've studied the history of the world enough to know that once such a conflict begins, the outcome is uncertain at best, and somebody that nobody has even thought about could rise to power with some form of government that nobody's ever heard of or even remotely dreamed of could emerge out of something like that. And I know that all through it, the sheeple will be begging for the end of it, and they will be willing to make any kind of a deal with anybody who can guarantee them peace and quiet and security. I know that, because that's the nature of sheeple. Right, Doyle?
Yeah. I never understood that concept, though, of peace and quiet and security. Because if you look back through history, you can see footage on film or still pictures. Any of those institutions that supposedly guarantee that, all you see is sirens and spotlights and dogs.
That's right. That is exactly what Hitler said to the German people. I'm going to do away with crime, and I'm going to do away with poverty, and I'm going to do away with all the hardships and all of that kind of stuff. We're going to purify the race, and we're going to make Germany the ruler of the world, the most powerful country on earth, and all Germans are going to be happy and secure, and we're going to get rid of all the Jews and all the blacks and all the Catholics and all the Christians and all the Poles and the Russians and, you know, the Slavic peoples. And you know, and everybody, I don't know how this happens. If anybody comes to me and say, Bill, we've got to do something for your own good. You know, the first thing that comes into my mind is I want to grab the guy and put him on a Greyhound bus to Alaska. That's what I want to do with that guy. I don't want him doing anything for my own good. I don't want him to even think about what he can do for my own good. Because every time somebody sets out to solve all the world's problems, they screw everything up. I mean it, they screw everything up. You know why we're in the state we are today? The machinations of social engineering has brought all this about. All of it. That's exactly where it comes from. Social engineering. And it's happened right in this country, and it's been done to us. By those of us who think they know what's best for all of the rest of us.
They started young, too.
Yes, they did.
Right in school.
Start them very young.
Right on your parents.
What do you think this thing going around in school now that before you can't graduate unless you've performed so many hours of community service?
It's that. To me, that's free labor.
It sure is. It's enslavement. If somebody is forced to do labor for somebody else against their will, that's slave labor. They're not being paid for it either.
No.
How about that? So in about a minute, I'm going to turn over the tape, and then we're going to open the phones. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. What are we going to do? What do you think we ought to do? Do you think we ought to do anything? Do you think we ought to just sit back and let this take its course and rely upon the benevolent hand of fate to decide the future of the world? Amen. Out of all the possible courses that we could take, that scares me more than anything. That's why I can't stand all these people who are sitting back saying, I'm not going to get involved with worldly affairs because I'm going to be raptured. I am one of the 144,000, and I'm not going to be around to deal with this. You'll deal with it. I don't even want to know about it. Don't want to talk about it. I don't even care. I am not of this world. Well, then get out of it, you know. Okay, I'm going to turn the tape over, and then we'll open the phone.
Three, 4578 is the calling line.
Yes,
that,
it is.
That, what you were saying reminds me of what I was told by a big media producer about 3 weeks ago. We don't want to air anything that might cause controversy. We just want to preach.
Yeah, and they will not just air the right side of any problem.
No.
They want two sides. They want two people who will tell you that they are both right, but they are both saying exactly the opposite thing. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Well, I'm doing.
I hear you. I'm glad to hear you back on the air.
Thank you.
I got a few points I want to get on you.
Sure.
On the peanut butter fiasco.
Isn't that the darndest? Yeah, go ahead.
Most of the cows in the nation are fed on peanut hay.
Most of the what?
Most of the cows in the nation are fed on peanut hay, so they're going to have to stop giving milk out to school too.
Well, you know, part of the movement toward the New Age and the New World Order is to destroy the beef industry.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And go to an all non-meat diet is what they want.
Yes, sir. Never trust a vegetarian.
Never trust a vegetarian?
Right.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just being satirical, right?
Oh, okay.
The second point, you know, you're talking about what are we going to do? Where do we draw the line?
Well, I've already drawn my line. I'm just asking all of you, what do you think
we
should do? What's next? How do we get out of this corner that we've been backed into?
Well, that is for someone smarter than I am, but what I'd like to hit on...
My friend, there is nobody in this world smarter than you are.
Well,
all human beings have the same brain capacity, same... brain capabilities and the same opportunity to use it. All you got to do is make them wheels turn, and it's true. How do you think Bill Clinton got in the White House?
I think he should be impeached and prosecuted and hung for treason. Monica Lewinsky is just another issue. It's immoral. I believe he committed a crime of that, and it's perjury. But I personally believe he should be tried and executed for treason. And if that went through, we would probably lose 9% of our elected officials.
Well, I think we might regain some respect for our government.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. 100%.
See, if they let all this slide by, who in the world is going to trust or believe them ever again?
Absolutely right.
About anything.
But hitting on one more thing. You know, when the first Revolutionary War hit, when they went to meet the British at Lexington and Concord.
See, you do know something about the future. You said the first. Which means you know there's going to be a second, don't you?
Uh-huh.
I do, too.
Well, we've already had the second one. I don't know if you can tell by my accent, but I'm a southerner. All the government regulations that we're getting right now.
Don't think for one minute that the Civil War was inspired by what you think it was.
Oh,
The Civil War was a manipulation by England to divide the colonies against themselves in an attempt to regain control in this country.
Oh, yes, sir.
And Lincoln didn't go for it, and neither did the South. They refused to borrow money from the Bank of England.
Right, right. I read that, agree with you in nationwide now.
Yes, yes it is. Yeah.
But the preachers, when they started, when they marched to meet the British, of course the British were coming to disarm them.
Yes.
Most people don't realize that.
You're talking about Lexington and Concord, yeah.
And they all left the church service. I don't remember the preacher's name, but he preached a fire and brimstone of serving God and defending your liberties and your land. And they marched out from the church and went and met the British.
Opposition to tyrants is service to God.
Absolutely. Hit one more thing and I'll get off the line on the rapture. I'll be 37 years old tomorrow. I had read the book of Revelations, I would say 12 times, all translations, King James, NIV, all of them. The rapture, if you take the rapture out of your mind completely, Book of Revelations makes complete sense. Most people say, well, I don't understand it. But if you take the rapture theology out of the Book of Revelation, it's laid out perfectly clear 100%, and you better get ready because there is some trouble coming upon this land.
Well, I don't think we need any Book of Revelations to tell us that. I look around and see it everywhere.
Absolutely. I think Bible prophecy is being fulfilled every day. But God bless your work. Keep up the good work, and I'll let somebody else get off.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, and, you know, for those of you who don't know it, it wasn't just Paul Revere who rode through the countryside. It was a whole bunch of writers. Paul Revere was used as the icon of the whole movement, actually. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. You familiar with this Promise Keepers movement?
Yes, I am. Full of crap. And if you're listening and you're a member of that movement, listen, read my lips. You're full of crap.
No, I'm not.
Are you a part of the Promise Keepers?
No, sir.
I'm not talking to you. See, you're not listening to me. I'm talking about the Promise Keepers. They're full of crap.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
All of these movements, they're full of crap. They really are. And if you listen to the sermons at the Promise Keepers, they're not God worshipers. They're phallus worshipers. They worship the male sexual organ.
And the way to split everybody up.
One comment on the base.
Why do you think it's for men only?
Yeah. See your point there.
And guess what? The Freemasons do too. Why do you think when they die they put an obelisk on their grave?
You know the...
that's the symbol of the phallus of Osiris.
I've heard the Masons call in on talk shows and say that Pike was just a crazy man or something like that.
Yeah, that's why they buried his body in the house of the temple in Washington, D.C., the same as they buried Lenin in the wall of the Kremlin. That's why they did it, because he's just a crazy old fool, and then, he didn't speak for Freemasonry.
So I read the Scottish Rite Journal at the library.
Uh-huh.
And they covered a story of local lodge was actually having an Albert Pike Day, honoring him and says,
yeah, he's one of their greatest heroes.
We'd be proud to have him as a brother. Today.
Yeah. Well, he took out of the hidden esoteric language and put to pen the philosophy and the religion of the Freemasonic Lodge.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
And basically, it's the Luciferian philosophy. He said it. Adam and Eve were held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust, vindictive God. They were set free from the bonds of ignorance by Lucifer through his agent, Satan, with the gift of intellect. And when they took a bite out of that apple, they became as gods. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is Phil in Alabama.
Hi.
From what I can see, we'll have two choices here. The sheeple will either be sheared, or you'll have a choice of either becoming a patriot or a slave.
They're already being sheared.
I know.
And wait till you see what happens over the next month or two. If you've got money in the stock market, man, I'm telling you right now, you better listen to me. Better listen very closely to me. You better get it out right now, because the whole thing is coming down around our ears like you never, ever could even imagine.
Oh, absolutely. The banking system is controlled by a handful of families, and they're setting it up for the Antichrist. Yeah, it's plain to see.
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, it's one of them.
Yeah, okay.
But I think if we don't restore the contract of the Constitution for the United States of America, we're going to be in big trouble, real big trouble. And we have no choice.
Yes, you're correct. If there is not a restoration of constitutional Republican government and the guarantee of freedom in this country, then the whole world, including this country, is going to fall to enslavement, as human beings have been enslaved throughout history.
Exactly.
As blacks are enslaved in their ghettos, and all of the people, not just blacks, but all of the people in the inner cities and in the places where they take drugs, are enslaved through the euphemistic enslavement of drug addiction. Well, I got news for you. It's not the Freemasons who are doing it. It's the intelligence community of the United States of America and other countries, all operating together with each other.
The KGB and the CIA working together.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the Mossad and the British intelligence organizations. England has been involved in drug dealing and drug smuggling throughout their history. That's how they controlled populations. It is a script. You go down and you go back through history and study ancient Rome, and you will see them doing the same things today that they did then.
Oh, sure.
When Cicero couldn't get his way, Cicero would cause his thugs to go out and destroy and burn and sack a Roman government building and beat up and kill a few citizens. And then they would declare that terrorists were loose in the city, and they disarmed the citizens of Rome, and piece by piece dismantled the Roman constitution and changed the republic into an oligarchy and then into a dictatorship, and then they made the headman a god, and then it became a theocracy.
Well, your book was in 91, wasn't it?
My book was published in December of 1990.
I did have a copy of it. I loaned it to a friend, never got it back. But you know what? It sounds exactly like what you had in your book. I mean, almost exactly the way they had it planned out, and that's the way it's working out right now.
Exactly. That's why my book is the number one bestseller and has been since it was published in the underground press.
That's why I couldn't get it back from the lady I loaned it to.
Nobody ever does. I hear that complaint all the time.
No, that was a big mistake made for me, but it's good to hear you on the planet now. At least the signal is strong down here, and we can understand you now, and we have a little trouble with that other station in Miami.
Yeah, well, I am too. I lost my magnetic shoes, and I was drifting off into space, and then Al Wiener threw a rope up there and grabbed me and brought me right back to the planet, and here I am.
Yeah, and it's good to have you on for 3 hours. Now you can really do something. You know, one thing I wanted to hear.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we don't get a lot more orders for our products than what we're getting, we're going to go to 2 hours very quickly.
Right. I need to call and get a catalog, a list of the products that you have, because I'm sure there's a lot of things on there I'm probably going to need.
Well, you probably will, yeah.
Yeah. Especially information. I think that's the key to survival in this next century is going to be information. What you don't know can hurt you.
Information is the source of all power today.
Exactly. Well, they're using it against us. We need to get up and re-educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. We've lost the ability to think.
Yes.
And lobotomized by the two, and we're forgetting what the prize is.
Don't let the National Education Association teachers off the hook. Most people are lobotomized in school by their own teachers.
Oh, sure. Well, look at the socialist movement that controls the education in this country.
Yeah, well, the NEA is a socialist organization that was created to change the mentality of the American people.
Sure, it's Rockefeller and Carnegie.
Well, right. Actually, it was John Dewey.
Dewey?
And he made no bones about what he was doing, and the leadership of the NEA has spelled it out all over the years. I mean, it's on record. It's no mystery.
Right. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned once about a book called The Mystery of the Ages, The Mysteries of Babylon. Is that the same book or two separate books?
I don't recall what book you're talking about. We have a lot of books here. And I read a lot of books all the time, and my library is now packed in boxes in storage, so I can't even walk in the next room and look on the shelf and see if there's anything there that like that.
And one time you did, I think, 45 hours on the Mysteries of the Ages.
Mystery Babylon, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't from a book. That was from years and years and years of study and research into the hidden religion and esoteric behind the veil true movement of the Illuminati that exists at the highest levels of all of these so-called fraternal orders.
Who's at the top of this?
There's nobody at the top. There's not one person who rules.
Uh-huh.
It is a consensus formed through all of the teachings and the esoteric plan that they've been following for hundreds of years.
Right. And I noticed that when you did broadcast that, said it would blow over a lot of people's heads because of the symbolism involved, and then you mentioned the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas. I've been in there. I used to work in Las Vegas. And, you're absolutely right. The plants had the formaldehyde, and everything is like dead, and they even smell of death when you walk in.
Yeah,
anyway,
it certainly is.
And if you look at the video, when Bush toured it, when it first opened, there's no sound to it, but you get the creepy feeling. You get this, like, this tingling in the back of your neck.
You're very perceptive.
Well, good luck to you, Bill, and a long-time listener. And there are people out there that do listen, haven't spoken to you before, and we're just so happy that you're on the planet now. We can hear you, and we got our pencils and paper here, and we're going to get the action done that we need to do because we've got no choice now. We're up against the wall.
Okay, hold on just a minute.
All right.
Across America and around the world, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Okay.
The legal and lawful by the rule of laws is, you know, we're trying that. Apparently it's not working because we're being blocked by
we're not under the rule of law anymore. They're making it up as they go along.
Oh, right.
They are not obeying. They're so far outside the law, it's unbelievable.
Right.
They're so far outside the law that you have no prayer if you ever get hauled into one of their courts. You see, you'll present your defense or your case according to the law, and they don't go by the law.
Right.
They don't go by the Constitution, and if you mention the Constitution in most of these courts, they'll tell you if you mention it again that they'll hold you in contempt and throw you in jail.
Well, exactly. You know, you have lawsuits that have been sued against the United States because of the United Nations and the sovereignty of this country, invading the sovereignty, and what has happened is that the judges won't even hear the cases because they're saying you haven't even been damaged yet. There's nothing we can do, you know, and it's just like...
They're crooks, they're liars, they're traitors. There are no honest men sitting in federal court judge benches, period.
Right.
They are liars. They make up the law as they go along. They destroy people every single day, and they let the government and its police agencies get away with everything,
right?
Including mass murder.
Oh, exactly. Look at Waco. That should have been a wake-up call for this country, but
well, it was for many of us.
I know it was for me. When I saw that, I said, "Well, next thing will be a garden plot and cable splicer," you know. And I'm afraid that's the way it's going.
Well, that's exactly the way it's going.
Exactly.
They're not training our military to fight wars in foreign countries. They're training them in urban guerrilla warfare to fight Americans right here.
Oh, right. They'll eventually go to door-to-door. You know, Hitler did this. See, what he did, he took troops from other parts of Austria, and he moved them into other countries where they had held no allegiance.
Sure.
And that's what is going on right now. You're living in 1938 Nazi Germany.
Yes.
With Bill Clinton at the helm. You know what really scares me is going into Y2K with Bill Clinton or Al Gore. You know, we need a real leader in there, and I think the only way we're going to get it is to restore the Constitution legally and lawfully.
Let me tell you something.
There is a provision in the Constitution to do this.
You heard...
Government.
Did you hear what Clayton Douglas said last night?
What's that?
He told you the truth.
Exactly.
If you were to take Bill Clinton out of the presidency right now. Impeach him however you did it. It wouldn't make any difference.
No.
Nothing would change.
No.
If you were to put a Republican in there tomorrow, wouldn't make any difference. Nothing would change.
Yeah.
Nothing. We'll still be going in the same direction, down the path toward world government and the destruction of this country and our freedom. We don't have any sovereignty. When you hear the so-called leaders, read traitors in Washington, D.C., telling us that we are now party to a world court, a world criminal court.
Sure, they could drag you into that court and convict you and have no rights. And...
Well, I'm sure they already got their eye on me.
Oh, well,
I don't have any doubts about that, but I'm not going in their court unless I'm in a coffin.
They can find
my dead body guilty if they can do that.
Right. They'll round up people that they feel don't go along with the order. And we've already been told that by Louis Free. If you don't go along with the New World Order, or the New Order, which he called it, you're considered a domestic terrorist.
That's exactly right.
You've already been branded as domestic terrorist.
Yeah, for telling the truth.
Right.
Most dangerous radio host in America because I tell the truth.
Yeah, you know, I heard that once, and you know, and I did the laugh. I had to laugh. I said, now, how can anybody that night after night, year after year, sits there and tells you the truth, and it comes true right before your eyes, but you still don't believe it, and then you call it dangerous? I don't see how anybody could actually see that. So you're not using your brain. They're going off and...
Oh, yes, they are. You see, they know what I know. The truth is the most dangerous weapon you can use against a liar.
Sure. Then you have to feed them disinformation. That's all you're seeing is disinformation.
Socialism is nothing but a string of lies. It cannot stand in the light of truth. Neither can communism. So they must lie to people and manipulate them. And by slow degrees, strip them of their rights and push them into the new order. Because if anybody could ever see the truth about what is coming, there would be nothing but bodies swinging from ropes, from lamp poles, all across Washington, D.C.
Well, I think you're right. I think if the people were to know right now how they've been sold out, they would do exactly that.
Yes, they would.
Yeah. I'm afraid that they would.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a foreign broadcast today on a presidential palace that was under siege. Did you see that?
No.
I think it was in Central America. And I was just thinking to myself,
In Central America?
Yeah.
I think you might be talking about somewhere in the Far East, because that's where those things are happening right now. The economies have plunged to such depths that the people are, in some places, in revolt.
Oh, right. In Indonesia, they had the riots.
Yeah. They're still rioting in Indonesia and Malaysia.
Right.
And,
this
collapse has not manifested its terror yet.
Yeah. I kind of always held in my mind, kind of hoped that in the back of my mind that when the American people had enough, they'd do something about it. But apparently I don't see that happening.
Americans, by their very nature, won't have enough until you take their car away from them, their TV away from them, and they sit down to eat dinner some night, and there's nothing on the table.
Well, you know, that just might happen with Y2K because there are embedded chips in vehicles, your TV set, your VCR, satellites. They may not even be able to uplink the signal because of embedded chips and systems.
Well, it's not any of that that is the danger. It's people's reaction to it. That is the danger.
I don't think.
What do you think is going to happen in the inner cities when the grocery supermarkets run out of food and there's no trucks coming in?
Right.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well,
you think the LA riots were bad? You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy.
Yeah.
And it won't be because of Y2K. It'll be because of the stupidity of the people.
Oh, sure. You take away their food, and they'll do almost anything to feel safe or get their food back.
Especially when they can do it in the middle of a mob where they think that nobody knows who the hell they are.
Right.
They'll murder you for a can of peas.
For a loaf of bread or a can of peas.
Yeah, or a quarter even.
Right. I was near L.A. at the time of the riots, and I remember that. And anyone who gets in the face of a mob ends up on the ground, kicked in the head, thrown in, you know, and almost shot.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people out there shaking their heads saying, Bill Cooper's crazy, here he is, shot this stuff. I'll tell you how I know this. It's not because God whispers in my ear or I have any kind of crystal ball. It's because I've studied history, and this scenario has repeated itself throughout the history of the world, and I just read the accounts of what happened in these cities when it happened.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And you know what? It you look at it, there is a pattern of certain dates that it happened, just like the Oklahoma City bombing happened in 19.
Now you're getting into Art Bell territory. I don't believe in this pattern of dates unless there is a particular reason why a group of people would want something to happen on a certain date, because maybe that date has a particular meaning in their religion or their esoteric beliefs or something like that.
Right. Well, certain dates mean certain things to certain people.
Yes.
You know, just like in the Bible, certain dates or period, time periods are mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that we're in a certain time period, exactly. Well, if you compare throughout history, like you said, the pattern of this is you can look and see how, economies were destroyed, countries were destroyed and invaded, taken over. And this is just another example of it, you know, of this world government and where it's headed.
Well, it's certainly headed. I'll tell you that. It's stampeding.
Well, like you said, you don't think we can stop it, but I don't think we have any choice but to try.
No, I don't believe for 1 minute we're going to stop it. I believe that we're rushing toward a confrontation between armed groups for the future of the world.
Uh-huh.
And I think I think there's going to be civil war in this country.
Yep.
I believe it. It's already started on this mountaintop. I've already told them.
Well, you were talking earlier about how
they have
divided between religions and races.
Yeah.
And if you divide, you can conquer. And that's exactly what they're getting at each other's throats. They want everybody at each other's throats. So when they walk in, you're told this person is against you and you are against them, and you have hatred towards someone that you should be your brother. But instead of seeing that and seeing that going to be taken over by a cultistic, socialistic government, they don't see that. They don't understand that. They don't want to believe it.
How can they understand it when they don't even understand how their city works, much less their county, and forget the state and Washington, D.C.? That's why when these idiots with microphones stick a microphone in some sheeple's face and ask them what they think the Congress ought to do about such and such and so and so. You know what the person ought to say? He ought to be honest and say, I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm not going to make a fool out of myself on television.
Right.
But you know what he does? He's, well, I think they ought to do this and this and this, and he hasn't got the slightest idea what he's talking about.
He doesn't. He doesn't understand the Constitution. He's never read it. You know, you'd be surprised how many police officers. I was a police officer myself back in the early 70s.
Uh-huh.
And until I woke up to what was going on, and federal officer, by the way, and I could see what was going on. You know, I said, well, I either want to get out of this and get on the other side, or I'm going to end up dead.
Well, that's right.
And I was in a dangerous neighborhood in New Orleans, and between the low housing projects and high crime, and it wasn't safe. And if that's not safe, then imagine now, for what's coming,
mm-hmm.
You know, what we're facing.
Yeah.
Dangerous times.
We certainly are. We're also in exciting times. I mean, every person on this earth has a chance to do something that can really affect the future of the entire human race.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm trying my best to have my effect, and some other people are. Most people sit on the couch and wait for somebody else to do it for them.
Yeah, it's like, somebody else will do it, but it's not going to get done that way. It's going to get done when you decide you've had enough and you're going to do something about it.
But you want to know the truth? Throughout the history of the world, everything that's ever been done has been done by less than 3.5% of any population.
Oh, sure.
And sometimes as little as one man.
Oh, sure. The Revolutionary War is a good example of that. I think it was less than 3-4% of the population defeated the British.
It was about 3%.
Yeah. It was a small group.
3% of the entire population of the colonies created this nation and fought the Revolutionary War, and the rest of them were either still on the side of King George or just flat didn't give a damn.
Well, sure. Many of them died and lost everything they owned, mm-hmm. just to keep that principle of freedom.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, they sacrificed. sacrifice, their family sacrifice. But see, people aren't willing to sacrifice anymore. You know, they want somebody else to do it for them. You know, I'm not going to do anything. I'll let the other guy worry about it.
Well, their idea of sacrifice is baking a cake and taking it down to the homeless center.
Yeah.
I sacrificed a box of cake mix in 2 hours of my time. That's, you know, I've done my job, done my duty.
Yeah, they think they feel good. They walk away thinking, well, gee, I've really done something.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They haven't done anything. I've asked, you know.
Well, I don't know. If I was a homeless person and it was a good cake, I would have thought they did something. But it really isn't what they should be doing. You know what I'm talking about?
No, if they really want to do something, they'd go down there and help them get a job or help them.
No. If they really wanted to do something, they'd leave those poor people alone until they ask for help. Most of them don't want any help.
That's true.
And that's, I'm not, this is not a joke. I'm not trying to make a joke, and I'm not telling you a big fat lie here. It's the truth. Most homeless people are homeless because they want to be, and they don't want anybody messing with them.
Right. They want to lay on somebody else's leg. I mean, let's face it.
No, they don't even want to lay on somebody else's leg. They don't want anybody messing with them. They are in the situation that they want to be in.
Sure. Sure. They're in their own little world, and they don't want to be disturbed.
That's exactly right.
And
some of them do need help.
Well, yeah.
And some of them go and ask for help, and they get it.
Person's going to want to help themselves.
If they don't want to help themselves, it doesn't matter what you do, you cannot help them.
That's right. They're going to want it themselves.
Yeah.
And like you said, a lot of them don't want help. You know, they don't want to go out. They don't want to work.
That's right.
And they don't want to support their community or their country. They just don't care. I talk to people, you know, I try to explain to them what's going on. You know, what kind of answers I get? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. I don't like to talk about that. And then they get that glazed over look in their eye.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, this guy's like, this can't be right. I mean, he must be delusional. You know, and then you try to show
them.
Oh,
and they know better than that. The reason they don't want to talk about it is because, you know, they know you're telling the truth. They don't want to be responsible to have to admit that it's true, because then they have to do something about it.
Because allowing it to get this far, you know, as far as it has gone, they don't want to take the blame for not doing anything to get it that far. You know, it could have been stopped a long time ago. But
well, it's more than that. They don't want any part of it. They don't want to be responsible. They want you to leave them alone. They're like the homeless people. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
I'm having too much fun. Leave
I'm happy. Life. You know, I got a job. I got a six-pack of Budweiser. And
yeah, got football on Sunday.
Judy's coming over tonight. You leave me alone.
Yeah, I don't need anything. I don't want to hear all
yeah.
that.
You know. Listen, I got to let you go. You've been on here a long, long time.
But thanks, Bill. I haven't talked to you in about 5 years. Because I haven't had a phone that was worth using. But tonight I thought I'd give you a call and, you know, just be grateful that you're back on the air and we get the truth again.
Thank you.
And that was a good guest you had last night. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you.
Good night.
520-333-4578 is the number. 520-333-4578. I can't say that fast, clearly.
Uh-oh.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon. Okay. Where are you at?
You must be
in Hawaii.
Yeah. Hey, you asked about what we could do. In Ohio, we have some people that are giving law seminars. And maybe some of them are very active and are filing lawsuits. And, of course, some of them are getting in trouble, too. But at least they're willing to share some of their information with the people that attend. And I thought maybe if, however, they feel like the lecture. And then, so the average guy who goes there is not an activist, can't keep up with it.
The average guy who goes there is not learning, is not looking to learn about law. He's looking for somebody to give him two or three sheets of paper that he can fill out according to the instructions during the seminar, sign his name to, and get out of a lot of stuff. It's not honesty they're engaged in, nor is it patriotism.
Pardon? What kind of patriotism?
I said it's not patriotism.
What is it?
No. I'm talking about for most of the people who go there to hear these seminars. They're looking for a magic bullet to solve their problems. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know. Everybody's looking for that magic bullet.
There isn't any. There isn't any. Doesn't exist.
Some of your callers call and say it's education. But then everybody these arguments. One guy's got to tell you, oh, that he's smarter than you. So the only thing I can think of is for these activists and lawyers, non-lawyer types, or another law.
You know what you do? You stop going to seminars and you get your own nose in the law books and learn it like I did.
Okay, that's right. And but average guys.
Oh, don't give me that average guy. Bill Clinton's an average guy, and he's in the White House. Don't give me that average guy, I'm not good enough, or I can't do this, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't know how to do the research like you do. And that's baloney. My brain isn't any different than yours or anybody else's.
Some people don't have a good gift of words, though.
You know why they don't? Because they haven't put any effort into it.
It takes a lot.
Oh, my gosh. And heaven forbid that we should have to work to accomplish anything.
Hey, well, you got to do some work. I agree.
If you don't, you're not going to learn anything in any seminar, because it all depends upon what you know, not what somebody tells you. And there's only one way to know it, and that is to get in there and study it, dig it out, learn it. Oh, well, then let's give up. There's not enough time. Let's just forget all of it. Why are we even talking about it if there's not enough time?
Well, I agree. I thought maybe there would be a magic bullet, so you're saying there is none.
Of course not. There never has been throughout the history of the world. Can you cite me any instance throughout the history of any nation on this earth that anybody ever had a magic bullet besides the Lone Ranger?
The Arizona Ranger. You know, like the song, you know, Arizona Ranger.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, hey, that's the best song there is by Marty Robbins.
I never heard it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Hey, okay. Shift gears a little here. The American Revolution, you're talking a lot about that. Now, I've read the John Daniels, and it seems to me that a lot of these officers in Washington's army were all basically French Masonic, fighting the British, Masonic people, and they had enough connections to undermine Cornwallis and the British. What are you saying?
Most of the Founding Fathers were Freemasons. Benjamin Franklin was the master of the Lodge in Philadelphia.
Right.
He was also the master of the Lodge of Nine Muses in France.
Okay.
George Washington was the master of Lodge. He created the Knights of the Golden Circle, which was made up of the officers that served with him during the Revolution, out of the Knights of the Golden Circle, which was also known by another name. It came the Ku Klux Klan.
Ooh, yeah.
And a lot of other things.
Okay.
They did not found this nation to set men free. They founded this nation to destroy the kings and queens so that ultimately they could have one world government. That has always been the goal of the esoteric societies behind what they call the veil.
Okay.
In the process, they set men free because that's the only way that they could show the world that men could be free and cause them to revolt against the monarchies and topple them from the thrones. Knowing full well that free men would not stay free, but would give up their freedom at some point in the future in exchange for security.
Right, I understand. What
do you mean, right? You never understood this before.
Yes, I did. I hear a lot of this stuff. I listen to it. I love this stuff. Hey, but here's the thing. Hey, you see, we all, when we grow up, and even in our mid-40s, still think that George Washington, we think of him as benevolent Masons, and they did a good thing, maybe, the French Masons,
They did! They set you free! They're not imprisoning you again! You are!
Okay, alright, we are.
They gave us freedom!
All
if
right.
We were capable of handling it and keeping it, this would be the New World Order.
But we lost it somewhere.
Yes.
Long time ago.
We didn't lose it. We gave it away.
Civil War time, I guess.
No! Every day since this nation was created, we have been giving our freedoms away. Bit by bit, piece by piece. Little by little, surely and surely.
All right, here's another.
Nobody outside this country did it to us. We did it to ourselves.
I agree. All right, very good. One more tactic here.
Okay.
Oh, you know how Clinton, he used a narrow definition of the sexual definition of sex in the defined on by Judge Wright in the Paula Jones, right? You know, in other words, his tactic was, well, I'm not guilty of something because it's defined by this narrow reasoning.
If that's the way it's defined in the law, how can he be guilty of breaking the law if he didn't do it?
Well, that's just the way he interpreted it.
Well, I'm not arguing that, yeah. But that's his argument. His argument is if the law defines it this way and I didn't do it that way, I'm not guilty of a crime. I didn't do it.
Okay, but he was just always referring to what Paula Jones. Hey, he was in the grand jury, and therefore, hey, we got different definitions. It isn't just what Judge
No, right. The law doesn't work that way. You go by the definition in the law. Doesn't
right.
matter what your definition is or my definition is. It matters what the definition in the law is.
Well, maybe the Judge Wright and the Paula Jones didn't define it correctly. She used a narrow definition to give Bill Clinton a way out. And that strategy is what I think the liberals and the New World Order people are doing. They play this, you know, rabbinic.
All lawyers play it, and it has nothing to do with rabbinic. It's called cunning.
Well, you know, you studied the Talmud, and you know how...
It has nothing to do with the Talmud. You're talking about law.
Yeah, I know, but they're masters at it, how to take the laws of...
Oh, come on, man. How do you go from Clinton going by a judge's definition to say he didn't commit an act, which is what all lawyers do in every court in this thing, every day, to rabbinic Talmudism? How in the world did you make that leap?
I'm just using them as an expert example.
Them who?
Able to use words. To, you know, change the laws of God, which is that thing in the Bible. Which
change the laws of God?
Yeah,
no, nobody.
Jesus said in what, Matthew 15, you've taken the laws of God and making them to no effect by the tradition of your elders. And so the tradition of the elders eventually became the Mishnah and then the Talmud. And so, you know, you read it in the expose. You know, I'm not condemning them because they're experts in...
Not condemning who?
They're the original rabbinic writers of the Mishnah and the Talmud.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with you. That's their religion.
I know, but I'm just saying that's what Bill Clinton is using and the lawyers. And I'm just saying they use that...
Wait a minute. Let's go back again. He's not using that. Bill Clinton isn't Jewish. I doubt if he's ever even heard of it.
Oh, I think he's been coached on it.
By who? How about George Bush? He's not Jewish.
Perhaps. Well,
how about Al Gore? He's not Jewish.
Hey, here's one thing I heard.
How about Billy Carter? He's not Jewish.
Not Billy Carter and not Jimmy. You mean Jimmy?
Billy Carter, I said.
Oh.
Jimmy's next. How about Ronald Reagan? He's not Jewish.
Well, here's the trick, though, Bill. When they become 33rd degree Masons, theoretically, they go into a quasi-Jewish...
I've studied the Freemasons for over 26 years, and that is not true.
Well...
That is not true.
I think George Bush, Ronald Reagan have a little beanie on their head, and...
What little beanie? What are you talking about?
Well, you know, you've seen them when they, and George Bush conducted, Jewish...
Let me tell you something. When I go to a Jewish friend's home to eat, I put on one of those out of the respect for the family while I have dinner with them.
All right.
Does it make me Jewish? I don't believe their religion. It's their religion. But I respect them because they're my friends. And when they come to my house... At Christmas time, they respect my traditions.
Well, you do know that there's a...
Wait a minute. Yeah. Don't tell me what I know. You tell me what you know, okay?
Well, I just see these things by observation. So you see George Bush kissing the Wailing Wall with his beanie on. Are you yarmulke, you know...
I've never seen George Bush kiss the Wailing Wall with a yarmulke on.
Oh, there's a picture of it. Been in magazines and New York, and, you know, see, one good thing about the Eastern newspapers is, you know, New York and Cleveland is that they have pictures of, you know, people,
He's the head of our country. How do you know that he wasn't doing that just to out of respect for the Israelis?
Well, that's true too. But
I mean, when foreign leaders come to our country, they participate in our ceremonies. Does that make them Americans or Christians?
No, I agree. But look, George Bush did conduct Hanukkah services in the White House.
How do you know that?
Well, there's pictures of it in the Jewish magazine.
Let me tell you something. George Bush never conducted Hanukkah services in the White House. The White House honors all religious holidays because it is an institution and a building that belongs to all American people.
Well, I think
I guarantee you, he observes Christmas in the White House.
I hear what you're saying, but still, again, I see these pictures of George Bush with the rabbis in this.
You ever seen a picture of a rabbi in a Christian church at Christmas?
No.
I have.
Oh, okay. So they go there. Okay, I see where you're going with. All right.
Does that mean that they're Christians and they're plotting against Jewry?
No, of course not.
Well, then how could you make all these leaps? George Bush is not Jewish.
Well, there might be something because, see, one website by the Catholics says that Masonry was originally founded by King Herod and his followers.
No, it wasn't. Masonry came out of ancient Babylon, long, came out of ancient Assyria, Mesopotamia, Babylon, long before Israel ever existed and the Jews were still running around chasing sheep through the desert.
Of course, it wasn't known as Masonry then, but think about it.
Think about it. I've studied it for 26 years. I have been teaching people about Freemasonry and the esoteric, hidden fraternal orders, the Illuminati, if you will, all of these secret societies for years.
Right.
I'm the only one who has ever publicly revealed their secrets, their real secrets, to the whole world on the radio.
All right, but you know that King Herod built a magnificent temple. So he used lots of masons and carpenters, right? And therefore,
anybody in those days who built anything used masons, but they were not Freemasons. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah, but they used the guild. You know, think about it. They want to.
I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to tell you right now that Freemasons did not come out of labor guilds. Freemasonry is nothing more or less than the modern extension of the ancient mystery schools. They would like for you to believe that they came out of the unionized builders' guilds in the medieval ages, and it's not true.
Okay, well, we do know that Jesus was probably condemned in a secret trial. Not only at Caiaphas' house, but then maybe transferred to under